This is the last Sunday in the church calendar year, and the first reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 34, and we read selected verses beginning at verse 11. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered. On a day of clouds and thick darkness, and I will bring them out from the peoples, and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. I'll feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Continuing at verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with the side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you have scattered them abroad, I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. My servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the First letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15, the greatest, perhaps, chapter on the teaching of the resurrection. We read verses 20 through 28. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection. The dead. Whereas in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning at the 31st verse. Jesus said, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' And the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and all his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they also will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick or in prison, and did not minister to you?' Then he will answer them, saying, 'Truly I say to you, if you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, the righteous into eternal life." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your epistle lesson for today, and in particular, verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. This is our text. Now, you may have heard what I just read as words of comfort and words of hope. But you know, not everybody hears them that way. This is part of what communism labeled the opiate of the masses, a drug intended to lull people into an acceptance of oppression. The idea that there is some kind of afterlife, and in particular, a resurrection of human flesh itself, is in many circles a dangerous teaching. I recall earlier in the year some professors out east, I can't remember what school it was or where the particular article was published, blaming Christians for the spread of COVID disease because they're not afraid to die. This Christianity business, it's a dangerous thing. Some other material I read not too long ago talked about the whole concept of a coming judgment as being a harmful thing to people. It could make some people afraid of what might happen to them after they die. So I suppose it's a good thing if people don't worry about how what they do here might affect them later. I'm sure that's very comforting to the criminal element of our society, to the cruel dictators and governments that live around the world that oppress and even torture people. Not to have to worry about some coming a judgment. That would be a harmful thing. Yes, indeed. To many people, that which we profess, that which we celebrate, is a dangerous thing. But of course, they often don't realize how what they preach and proclaim is even more dangerous. I remember having a friend back in seminary who came from Brazil. And in Brazil, although there was a democracy, at least at that time, there was also much stronger elements of communism and other political belief systems. He told me an interesting joke that was told by communists about capitalists. In capitalism, man oppresses man, they said. But in communism, the opposite is true. You're supposed to laugh at that. What is true is that we live in a sinful world. And what is true is that in no matter what political system different nations adopt, oppression can always be found. Not necessarily just the fault of the political system, it's the fault of who we are as people. Born into this world as sinners. Born as a selfish people. Interested only in what pleases us in this life. And not concerned with others. Not thinking about judgment. And so no matter how fine a democracy, a world develops, or any other political system, you're always going to find oppression in families, between neighbors. You'll see good on occasion, but you'll also see horrendous evils. That's just the nature of this world that we live in. Because it is our nature. Conceived and born in sin. And if there is no Christ, and if there is no resurrection, we have no hope of ever being freed from the sin that haunts us day after day and from the finality of death that is one day going to overtake us all. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Yes, we Christians live in hope that though things may be tough here in this world, there are better days that are always to come. That if we don't get to live out all the days we are hoping to live out on this earth, that there are more days of our life to come and they will be better days. That if someone we dearly love is taken from us, that through belief in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for us on his cross and in his resurrection, there is an opportunity for a joyous reunion in heaven with all the saints who've placed their faith and their hope and their trust in him. The world is always trying to make a better world. But if you have any sense of history, one of the things that is an obvious conclusion is that no matter how hard we try, no matter what political system we evolve, no matter how many good intentions people might have, evil always seems to be ever present, inescapable. That is the nature of this world as it always has been. And if we learn from history, we know that that is going to be the nature of the world no matter how long it continues. Because the devil and our own sinful flesh are what rule over this life. But thanks be to God. Because as dangerous as an idea as it might seem to the rest of the world, we have hope of something far more glorious. A great victory over all that confounds the world, over all the pain, over all the suffering, over all the hatred. We have the hope of a blessed victory over all those things through the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To the world without Christ, yes, this is dangerous thinking. But for those who have placed their hope in him, it is a comfort and brings to us a peace which will have no end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.